Mother's Questions and Answers, July 4th, 1956. For the past 2 weeks, Mother has been getting written questions to answer in the class. And she's spoken very clearly and directly about the fact that these are subjects which should be well known by now to all the people there. She has implied that she doesn't want to answer them, but she does answer them anyway, very kindly taking the fault upon herself and saying, perhaps she could have been more clear in her answer the last time. She answers one question asked in the class, and then she simply goes beyond this whole issue and says that the series of written questions she has is not very interesting. And she answers only two of them. The first one, she says, is very practical, and though she has explained it before, she answers it in great detail. And then she answers one more very briefly before it starts to rain, and she says, in fact, that was all she had to say anyway. The first detailed answer is on the subject of illness in the body. It's a subject that both Mother and Sri Aurobindo dealt with very often. The question is asked, what is the best way of opening the physical consciousness to receive the healing force when there is an illness that you can clearly identify in a specific part of the body? And Mother gives a point-by-point series of interactions. And she says that if one can do these three things at the same time, no pain can resist, and the pain will disappear in 5 minutes. And what she's going to tell in the class is very much from her own work and her own experience, because this is an area that both Mother and Sri Aurobindo went on working on in their own bodies. Sri Aurobindo wrote about it in the Record of Yoga. This was in his early days in Pondicherry. And Mother spoke about her own work and her own realizations in the same area, sometimes even saying the same things in the agenda, decades later. We have some of what Mother says that will help us to connect better to her methods, the methods that she is giving in this class. On October 10th of 1963, Mother says, quote, when the cells of the body are good-willed, meaning that as soon as their attention is turned to the Supreme Force, the Supreme Presence, the Supreme Reality, as soon as their attention is turned to that, a burst of joy. That's it. That's it. In the cells that are truly not only good-willed, but thirsting for the truth, a burst of joy. And then the old habits start up again. And the cells say, it recurs periodically, that is very often, thousands of times a day, the cells say, but we only have to will, or we only have to aspire, or we only have to think of that. It's not think as we understand it. We only have to turn our attention. Oh, but it's true, like that. Oh, such joy. And then, bruff, all the old habits come back again. It's fantastic. Fantastic. On October 14th of 1964, a year later, Mother says, quote, the body is learning the lesson of illness, the illusion of illness. Oh, that's very, very amusing. Very amusing. the difference between the thing itself, as it is, the particular kind of disorder, whatever it is, and the old habit of feeling and receiving the thing, the ordinary habit, what people call an illness. I am ill. That's very amusing. And always, if you stay truly still, it's difficult to be truly still. In the vital and mind, it's very easy. But in the body's cells, to be perfectly still without being tamasic is a little difficult. It has to be learned. But when you are able to be truly still, there is always a little light, a warm little light, very bright and wonderful, still behind, as if it were saying, you only have to will. Then the body cells panic. Will? How? How can I? The illness is on me. I am overcome. How can I will? It's an illness. The whole drama. And that wasn't in sleep. I was completely awake. It was this morning. It's an illness. Then something with a general wisdom says, calm down, calm down. And mother is laughing. Don't remain attached to your illness. Calm down, as if you wished to be ill. Calm down. So they consent. Consent, you know, like a child who has been scolded. All right, very well, I'll try. They try. Immediately, the light comes again. You only have to will. And once or twice, for one thing or another, because the disorder is something general, you may suffer at any spot, have a disorder at any spot, if you accept a certain vibration. So for one thing or another, on this point, you consent. The next minute it's over. Not the next minute, a few seconds, and it's over. And then the cells remember. Oh, but how come? I had a pain here. Pop, it comes back. And the whole drama unfolds like that, constantly. On July 20th of 1965, Mother says, humans have a kind of mental illness, of a kind of curiosity about some pain or disorder in their physical body. And when we feel something of this nature, we start asking ourselves, what's that? What effect will it have? What's going to happen? What the body calls the desire to learn. If you are unlucky enough to be like that, you can be sure that you will have something very unpleasant, which, according to the doctor, according to ignoramuses, becomes an illness or disrupts the body's functioning. While if you don't have that unhealthy curiosity, and on the contrary, you will the harmony not to be disrupted, you have only to, we could say poetically, bring one drop of the Lord on the troubled spot for everything to be fine again. So it's clear that Mother is continuing to work on her own body, the same way that we're going to see that she's telling people in her class to work on their bodies. And then we have Sri Aurobindo showing the progress he was making in his own body, and also speaking in his own way about some of the same problems. This is 1912, so that's 50 years before Mother spoke of it in her agenda in 1963. So in the Record of Yoga, on February 6th of 1912, he's writing, Later on, the divine power, in its downward descent, entered a layer of low physical nervosity on the physical plane, a domain where what has been rejected from the surface nature often takes refuge. This part, which had not yet been coerced by the large embracing consciousness that takes into itself all truth and idea and object of knowledge and sees them at once in their essence, totality, and parts or aspects. There was in consequence a disturbance, a cloud of the old mental formations and old habitual reactions formed by the past flying up and obstructing the accomplished fulfillment of the yoga practice. And then we see that there's been some change. By January 6th, 1914, he writes, the struggle over the health continues. The symptoms of fever and cold spending themselves in the subtle non-material parts without being able to materialize firmly in the body in spite of the opportunities given. The mind is assailed with suggestions of illness, but it resists, and it expels them, while the bodily parts, which have now learned to look up to the mind for light and impulse, are only slightly affected, and affected chiefly in their subtle parts. The whole psychic mechanism of illness is now evident to the understanding. This week we have the original French tape recording of Mother's Class, July 4th, 1956. We are in the playground. A girl is asking a question, and the tape starts from the point where the girl says, "It's not from the text, sweet mother." And mother says, "It's not from the text. Then what is it?" And the girl says, "It is said that if one sees a shooting star, and at that moment one aspires for something, that aspiration is fulfilled within the year. Is this true?" Mother says, "Oh, a shooting star, you mean. Do you know what that means? The aspiration must be formulated during the time that the star is visible. And that doesn't last long, does it? Well, if an aspiration can be formulated while the star is visible, this means that it is all the time there, present in the forefront of the consciousness. This does not apply to ordinary things. It has nothing to do with that. It is for spiritual aspirations. But the point is that if you are able to express your spiritual aspiration just at that moment when the star is visible, it means that it is right in front of your consciousness, that it dominates your consciousness. And necessarily, what dominates your consciousness can be realized very rapidly. I had the opportunity to make this experiment, exactly this. The moment the star was passing, at that very moment, there sprang up from the consciousness to realize the divine union for my body, that very moment. And before the end of the year, it was done. But it was not because of the star. It was because that dominated my whole consciousness, and I was thinking of nothing but that. I wanted only that, thought only of that, acted only for that. So, this thing which generally takes a whole lifetime, it is said the minimum time is 35 years, Before 12 months had passed, it was done. But it was because I thought only of that. And it was because I was thinking only of that, that just as the light of the star passed by, I could formulate it, you see. Not merely a vague impression, formulate in precise words like this: to realize union with the divine, the inner divine, the thing we speak of, exactly the thing we speak of. Therefore, what is important is not the star, it's the aspiration. The star is only like an outer demonstration, nothing else. But it's not necessary to have a shooting star in order to realize swiftly. What is necessary is that the whole will of the being should be concentrated on one point. Then there's silence, and Mother asks, "Is that all?" Nobody asks another question. So Mother shows a series of written questions, and she says, "What I have here isn't very interesting. There is one thing which is very practical, which I have already explained to you several times, but perhaps it will be good to explain it yet once again. It is this." The question, she reads the question. "When one has a clearly localized illness in the body, what is the best way of opening the physical consciousness to receive the healing force?" And Mother says, "For this, as for everything else in this domain, which may be called the outposts of occultism, or the threshold of occultism, each one ought to find his own movement. For what is most effective for each one is the method for which he has been more or less prepared and which is most familiar to him. So it's very difficult to make a general rule. But there is a preparation which may be of a general kind, that is, to accustom the body methodically to understand that it is only the outer expression of a truer and deeper reality, and that it is this truer and deeper reality which governs its destiny, even though it's not usually aware of it. One can prepare the body through a series of observations, studies, understandings, by showing it examples, making it understand things as one makes a child understand them, done either by observing its own movements, but generally in this one is a little more blind, or done by observing the movements of others. And in a more general way, this preparation will be based on recognized studies, on clear facts. Like this, for instance, that a certain number of persons placed in exactly similar circumstances experience, each one of them, very different consequences. One may go even further. In a given set of definite circumstances, there is a certain number of particular definite individuals which find themselves in identical conditions, and for some, the effects are catastrophic, while others escape without any harm. During the war, there was a very large number of such examples for study. In epidemics, it is the same thing. In cataclysms of nature, like tidal waves or earthquakes or cyclones, it is the same thing. The body understands these things if it is shown to it and explained to it, as one explains things to a child. And when one says to it, "You see, there was something else that acted there," not only the brutal material fact by itself. Unless there's some bad will there, it understands. This is a preparation. Gradually, if you make use of this understanding, you must, with a methodical work of infusing consciousness into the cells of the body, infuse at the same time the truth of the divine presence. This is a work which takes time, but which, if it is done methodically and constantly, produces an effect. So you have prepared the ground. Then comes, as there is in the question here, then comes some pain at a precise spot, coming from some illness. At that moment, it will depend, as I said at the beginning, on the approach which is the most familiar to you. But we can give an example. You're in pain, great pain. It is hurting very much. You are suffering a lot. First point, do not stress the pain by telling yourself, "Oh, how much pain I have. Oh, this pain is unbearable. Oh, it is becoming worse and worse. I shall never be able to bear it," etc., etc., all this sort of thing. The more you go on thinking like this and feeling like this, and the more your attention is concentrated on it, the more the pain increases, amazingly. So, the first point, to control yourself sufficiently that you do not do that. Second point, as I said, it depends on your habits. If you know how to concentrate, to be quiet, and if you are capable of bringing into yourself a certain peace of any kind, it may be a mental peace, it may be a vital peace, it may be a psychic peace. They have different values and qualities, but finally, this is an individual question. You try to realize within yourself a state of peace, or you attempt to enter into a conscious contact with a force of peace. Suppose you succeed more or less completely. If, for example, you can draw the peace into yourself and bring it down into the solar plexus, for we are not talking of inner states. We speak about your physical body, don't we? If you can make this peace enter into your solar plexus, and from there direct it very calmly, very slowly, I might say, but very persistently towards the place where the pain is more or less sharp and fix it there, this is very good. This is not always enough, but if one adds to this movement, you can add a sort of mental formation which is a little alive, has some life in it. Not just cold, but a little alive, a little life inside. A mental formation that the only reality is the divine reality. And all the cells of this body are a more or less deformed expression of this divine reality. There is only one reality, the divine, and our body is a more or less deformed expression of this soul reality. If, by my aspiration, by my concentration, I can bring into the cells of the body the consciousness of this soul reality, all disorder must necessarily cease. If you can add to that a movement of trusting surrender in the grace, then I give you just 5 minutes for your pain to disappear, if you know how to do it. You may try, and yet not succeed. But you must know how to try again and again and again until you do succeed. But if you do these three things at the same time, well, there is no pain which can resist. There it is. And then there's a bit of silence, and we hear the sound of pieces of paper being shuffled. It's probably Mother going through these pieces of paper with the questions on it. And there seem to be quite a few of them. And then she says, "Now, another question. It is about what I said last week in connection with the psychic being which sees from its psychic domain, which looks at the earth, seeking a place where it can reincarnate in favorable conditions. I said that from the psychic domain, it looks at the earth to see a corresponding light there. Someone asks me what I mean by a corresponding light. I simply mean a psychic light, for there are people who have a more or less awakened psychic, and this psychic, more or less awakened, is visible from the psychic domain to psychic beings. So when they see a psychic light somewhere, they find it a favorable place to manifest." And then it begins to rain. And Mother says, "Now, I think we are going to have a wet meditation, my children." And the people around Mother laugh. And Mother says, "It was all that I had to say." And we hear the papers being moved again. Maybe she's looking just to make sure. And then she says, "Then, do we meditate or not?" And then she speaks to a disciple. And she says, "One should do that." And we heard the sound of the microphone being moved. And Mother says, "These poor things don't like the rain." And again, we hear the microphone being moved. And Mother says, "Oh, oh, oh, oh." And then there's a meditation.
Ce n'est pas du texte.
Ce n'est pas du texte. Et qu'est-ce que c'est?
Mais on dit que quand on voit un filant et à ce moment si on veut ou aspire pour quelque chose, alors ça se réalise en un an. Est-ce vrai?
Oh, oh, une étoile filante, tu veux dire. Tu sais ce que ça veut dire? Il faut que l'aspiration se formule pendant le temps que l'étoile est visible. Et ça ne dure pas longtemps, n'est-ce pas? Eh bien, si une aspiration est capable de se formuler pendant le temps que l'étoile est visible, ça veut dire qu'elle est tout le temps présente en avant de la conscience. Ça ne s'applique pas aux choses ordinaires, ça ne s'agit pas de ça. Mais le fait est comme ça, que si vous êtes capable d'énoncer votre aspiration spirituelle pendant le temps que l'étoile est visible, ça veut dire qu'elle est tout à fait en avant de votre conscience, qu'elle domine votre conscience. Et nécessairement, ce qui domine votre conscience, eh bien, ça peut se réaliser très rapidement. J'ai eu l'occasion de faire cette expérience. Exactement ça. Au moment où l'étoile passait, au même moment jaillissait de la conscience, réalisait l'union divine. Pour mon corps. au moment. Et avant la fin de l'année, c'était fait. Mais ce n'était pas à cause de l'étoile. C'était parce que c'était, ça dominait toute ma conscience et que je ne pensais qu'à ça. Je ne voulais que ça, je ne pensais qu'à ça, je n'agissais qu'à cause de ça. Et alors, cette chose qui généralement prend toute une vie, on dit que le minimum c'est 35 ans, eh bien, avant la fin des 12 mois, c'était fait. Mais parce que je ne pensais qu'à ça. Et c'est parce que je ne pensais qu'à ça que juste l'éclair du passage de l'étoile, j'ai pu formuler, n'est-ce pas? Pas seulement une vague impression, formuler en mots précis comme ça, réaliser l'union avec le divin. Divin intérieur, c'est la chose dont on parle. Justement la chose dont on parle. Par conséquent, ce qui est important, ce n'est pas l'étoile. C'est l'aspiration. C'est seulement comme une démonstration extérieure, pas autre chose. Mais il n'est pas nécessaire qu'il y ait une étoile filante pour réaliser rapidement. Il est nécessaire que toute la volonté de l'être soit concentrée sur un point. C'est tout. Ce que je là n'est pas intéressant, pas très intéressant. Il y a une chose qui est très pratique. Qui n'a d'ailleurs rien à faire avec ça. Mais enfin, que je vous ai peut-être déjà expliqué plusieurs fois, mais qu'il sera peut-être bon que je vous explique encore une autre fois. C'est ceci. Lorsque l'on a un mal nettement localisé dans le corps, quelle est la meilleure façon d'ouvrir la conscience physique pour recevoir la force de guérison? Pour cela, comme pour tout le reste, dans ce domaine que l'on pourrait appeler les avant-postes de l'occultisme, ou le seuil de l'occultisme. Chacun doit trouver son propre mouvement. Parce que ce qui est le plus efficace pour chacun, c'est la méthode à laquelle il s'est préparé plus ou moins et qui lui est la plus familière. Alors il est très difficile de faire une règle générale. Mais il y a une préparation qui peut être d'un ordre général. C'est méthodiquement d'habituer son corps à comprendre qu'il n'est que l'expression extérieure d'une réalité plus vraie et plus profonde, et que c'est cette réalité plus vraie et plus profonde qui régit sa destinée, quoique il ne s'en aperçoive pas généralement. On peut préparer le corps par des séries d'observations, d'études, de compréhension, en lui montrant des exemples, en lui faisant comprendre les choses comme on les fait comprendre à un enfant. Soit en observant les mouvements en soi-même, mais généralement là on est un peu plus aveugle, soit en les observant chez d'autres et d'une façon plus générale basée sur les études reconnues, les faits qui sont patents. Comme celui-ci, par exemple, que un nombre d'individus placés exactement dans des circonstances analogues éprouve chacun des conséquences très différentes. On peut même aller plus loin, que dans un ensemble de circonstances données, définies, il y a un nombre d'individus donnés, définis, qui se trouvent dans des conditions apparemment tout à fait identiques, et que pour les uns, les effets sont catastrophiques, par exemple, et que les autres s'en tirent sans aucun dommage. Pendant la guerre, on avait des très grands nombres, un très grand nombre d'exemples à étudier de ce genre. Dans les épidémies, c'est la même chose. Dans les cataclysmes de la nature, comme les raz de marée, ou les tremblements de terre, ou les cyclones, c'est la même chose. Le corps comprend ces choses-là si on lui montre et qu'on lui explique comme on explique à un enfant et qu'on lui dit, tu vois, il y avait quelque chose d'autre qui agissait là, pas seulement le fait matériel brutal tout seul. Et à moins qu'il n'y mette de la mauvaise volonté, Il comprend. Ça, c'est une préparation. Petit à petit, si vous utilisez ça, il faut, avec un travail méthodique d'infusion de la conscience dans les cellules du corps, infuser en même temps la vérité de la présence divine. C'est un travail qui prend du temps, mais qui, s'il se fait méthodiquement et constamment, produit un effet. Alors, vous avez préparé le terrain. Arrive, comme ce dont il est question ici, une douleur quelconque provenant d'une maladie quelconque sur un point précis. À ce moment-là, ça dépendra, comme j'ai dit en commençant, de l'approche qui vous est la plus familière. Mais nous pouvons donner quelques exemples. J'en prends un. Vous avez mal, très mal. Ça fait très mal, n'est-ce pas? Vous souffrez beaucoup. Premier point. Ne pas insister sur la douleur en vous disant à vous-même, oh, comme j'ai mal. Oh, ce mal est insupportable. Oh, ça devient de pire en pire, je ne pourrai jamais supporter ça, etc. Tout ce genre de choses, à mesure que vous pensez comme ça et que vous sentez comme ça et que votre attention est concentrée là-dessus, le mal croît merveilleusement. Alors, premier point, vous contrôlez suffisamment pour ne pas faire ça. Second point, comme j'ai dit, ça dépend de vos habitudes. Si vous savez vous concentrer, être tranquille et que vous êtes capable d'amener en vous une certaine paix d'une nature quelconque, ça peut être une paix mentale, ça peut être une paix vitale, ça peut être une paix psychique, ça peut, elles ont des valeurs et des qualités différentes. Mais enfin, ça c'est une question individuelle. Vous tâchez de réaliser en vous un état de paix, où vous essayez d'entrer en rapport conscient avec une force de paix. Admettez que vous avez plus ou moins partiellement réussi. Si, par exemple, vous pouvez attirer la paix en vous et la faire descendre dans votre plexus solaire, parce que nous ne parlons pas des états intérieurs, nous parlons de votre corps physique, n'est-ce pas? Si vous pouvez faire entrer cette paix dans votre plexus solaire, et de là, la diriger d'une façon très tranquille, très lente, je pourrais dire, mais très obstinée vers l'endroit où se trouve la douleur, plus ou moins aiguë, et la fixer là, c'est très bien. Ce n'est pas toujours suffisant. Mais si, en ajoutant à ce mouvement, vous pouvez ajouter une sorte de formation mentale un peu vivante, pas seulement froide, mais un peu vivante, de la seule réalité et la réalité divine et toutes ces cellules de ce corps sont l'expression plus ou moins déformée de cette réalité divine. Il n'y a qu'une réalité, le divin. Et notre corps est l'expression plus ou moins déformée de cette unique réalité. Si, par mon aspiration, par ma concentration, je peux amener dans les cellules du corps la conscience de cette unique réalité, tout désordre doit nécessairement cesser. Si à ça, vous pouvez ajouter un mouvement d'abandon confiant en la grâce, alors je ne vous donne pas 5 minutes que votre douleur disparaît. Si vous savez le faire, vous pouvez essayer et puis ne pas réussir, mais oui. Il faut savoir essayer encore et encore et encore jusqu'à en réussir. Mais si on fait ces 3 choses-là en même temps, eh bien, il n'y a pas de douleur qui puisse résister. Maintenant, une autre question qui c'est de ce que j'ai dit la semaine dernière à propos du psychique qui voit dans son domaine psychique, qui regarde la terre et qui cherche à y trouver un point où il puisse se réincarner dans des conditions favorables. Alors j'ai dit que du domaine psychique, il regarde la Terre pour y voir une lumière correspondante. On me demande ce que je veux dire par lumière correspondante. Je veux dire tout simplement une lumière psychique. Parce que il y a des... Il y a des gens qui ont un psychique plus ou moins éveillé, et ce psychique plus ou moins éveillé est visible du domaine psychique pour les êtres psychiques. Alors quand ils voient une lumière psychique quelque part, il trouve que c'est un lieu favorable pour se manifester. Maintenant, je crois que nous allons avoir une méditation mouillée. Mais... C'était tout ce que moi j'avais à dire. Alors, est-ce qu'on médite ou on ne médite pas? On fait ça, ces pauvres choses qui n'aiment pas la vie.